This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Okay, our message for this session was first published back in the month of July of the month of the year 2012, and it's being put on audio in the month of November of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is found in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 21. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. It says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." When I left off in part number 6, I had been addressing how Elijah's message appeared to be just another remedy in a long line of remedies that people were pursuing to deal with all of their problems and suffering. You know, these are the people that experienced the power of God firsthand when He delivered them from Egypt. How He sent all types of plagues on the Egyptians and at the same time isolated them from it. Then He splits the Red Sea for them so that they can go over on dry land, then destroys Pharaoh's army in it when they try to pursue the children of Israel through it. Here was God demonstrating His power, yet the minute they ran into problems, they get to murmuring and complaining about how bad things are. When that happens, God decides to let them experience just what it is like if He decides not to help them. He does this because they don't appreciate Him and what He has done for them. It is much that same way, today. God has essentially blessed us with far more than we really deserve, given the fact that we carry on as if he owes it to us. And if he doesn't deliver, then we go, as the Bible says, a whoring after other sources of blessings. Many people today, just like back then, fail to take into account all of what God has done for them, especially when another problem pops up. Have you ever noticed how, when this nation runs into hard times, there is an almost immediate explosion of psychics and others that pop up out of the woodwork, so to speak, with suggestions that supposedly will lead you into a better life? Those are the prophets of Baal, seeking to entangle the people in a web of deceit and confusion to the point where they just don't care anymore, because nothing seems to make that big of a difference. It all seems like just one big maze where no matter which way you go, you end up at a dead end. What all of this does is wear down your resistance, where you just don't care anymore. And that's when he, Baal, has you just where he wants you. Because once you reach that state, you essentially just learn to live with your situation without any clear path to any solution, so you essentially grow stagnant and eventually die. This is the state of the children of Israel had gotten into. They didn't seek God, Baal, or anything else, because none of them seemed to make any difference in their situation. Mind you now, all of this came about because they had turned their backs, so to speak, on God. And at that point, God allowed them to go their own way, just to let them see that they could not prosper without him. It was not so much that the prophets of Baal could offer anything better. They just didn't want the people to turn back to God, so they told them, if God is really as powerful as the prophets say that he is, then why isn't he helping you? That is the same argument we have today in this nation. People tend to believe if God is real, then why all the misery, war, suffering, crime, poverty, and everything else that seems to show that he must be asleep or just doesn't care? Now, mind you, this confrontation includes God's people, which today is the church, having to decide between those preachers that want to protect their influence with the people so that they continue to live high on the hog and have power over the masses and be worshipped by them, and the occasional odd man out, the one that stands on the word of God, who, if you look at them, they don't even look like they should be given a second thought. A good case in this point, John the Baptist. If ever there was a man that just didn't look the part, as a messenger of Almighty God, he was it. The only attention he probably got was first was because of how weird he looked. He probably looked like a classic portrayal of a caveman, half naked, unshaven, probably smelled like you know what, and eating bugs and honey. Not much for anyone to say. When I grow up, I want to be like him. But, as we know, history has proven looks can be deceiving. It never ceases to amuse me how God makes fools out of these men and women who are the self-appointed saviors of the people that the news media always flock to hear some words of hope, like the classic "keep hope alive," that when given ends up being just one more instance of the blind leading the blind. If we look at the so-called batting average of these people, they are batting zero. Everything they say comes back to bite them in their rear ends. Getting back to the case in point. So you have someone that seems to be in just as bad a shape as everyone else and should by all accounts be completely rejected, and yet this is the type of person God chooses to use. If you will remember, Jesus also fit this type of profile. So there is a long line of men and women in history like this. While Elijah, being one of them, appeared to be just an ordinary man or an ordinary individual that had nothing about himself that was worth paying attention to, that is, until he put forth a challenge. But once again, it seemed a little idiotic that one man would be essentially challenging an entire people and 450 prophets. He was bound to lose. Had I been living back then with what I know about God today, I would have taken all bets against what was about to happen. Of course, in case you don't know it, I don't gamble. However, in this case, it would have been a sound investment with a guaranteed return of over 1,000%. So the scene is set. Elijah against 450 prophets of Baal. He sets the ground rules. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 22, starting at verse number 22, it says, "Then said Elijah to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under." Verse number 24, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers with fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. Now, it stands to reason that if 450 men represent every god that there is, then they should have no trouble calling on their masters to perform a simple demonstration of their power. After all, if someone is going to be a representative or follower of someone or thing, then it stands to reason that they must be worthy of that honor. When it comes to worthiness, God has a record of accomplishments that no one or thing can even hold a candle to. First and foremost, He created everything in the heavens and on earth from absolutely nothing by speaking them into existence. Hebrews 11 chapter 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen or which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How do I know this is true? Because we and they are here. But not only that, the evidence is all around us. Every day, if you take the time to consider how everything works, talking about the heavens, the planets, the stars, how all of them essentially stay in their place and orbits, how all the animals are designed and how the organs in their and our bodies are positioned and function. None of this happened by chance. There had to be some intelligence behind it. However, being the type of creatures we mankind are, we constantly need proof in the form of the miraculous to keep our attention. Something out of the ordinary. To man, things get old fast. You buy a new car today, and by next year, you want the newer model. With God, we do the same thing. He does something miraculous for us today, and not too long after, it is old news. Janet Jackson has a song that asks, what have you done for me lately? As I mentioned earlier, how can people that were present when God delivered them out of Egypt, then parted the Red Sea for them, turn around and complain about their conditions in the wilderness? But it all comes down to demonstrating who has the power to deliver us out of all of our problems. The average Christian today proclaims that Christ is the answer to all our problems, but they put more of their faith in government than God. If God says one thing, and government says something totally different, they will choose government over God. Have you noticed the mantra separation of church and state? You would be surprised at how many of them Christians buy into this foolishness. Tell me, what part of our lives can we control apart from God? Try zero. I don't care who promises what. If God doesn't give them the breath to accomplish it, then guess what? It ain't gonna happen. But God doesn't have to take their breath away. He will just let their minds go haywire where they can't see what they are doing. So back to our story. Elijah tells the prophets they can go first. They can choose the bullock they want and prepare it, then offer it up to their gods. He did this so that they had no excuses as to why their gods failed to answer their request in the event they failed. More next month. Well, that's the end of part number 7 for our message, and we're going to move on and continue on in our message into part number 8. Like I say, there's we got the four chapters left, 8, 9, 10, and 11, which will carry us through till through November of the year 2012. So until we get to the next part, this is Evangelist McTyre saying, may God bless you and your families real good. Until we get together next time, good day.